Nearly all the religions believe in an afterlife. In fact, the concept of death in various religions differs quite a bit. They have discrete opinions about death and what comes after. Death is taking a break from the materialistic world. Death as a continuation of the soul, but since this earth, we will be reborn to a new life here. Hinduism is very spiritual and strongly believes in the natural process in the existing of soul as a separate entity. Soul travels for some time to another world and finally returns. Death is merely movement from one world to another. The prophet taught that three things can continue to help a person. Atheistic views on life after death vary depending upon the existence of spirit after life or reincarnation. Reincarnation after death, and that is Altman. They believe you can be reincarnated not only as human, vary between denominations and individual Christians. And do believe in some kind of heaven, in which believers enjoy the presence of God, and those who do not follow and believe in Jesus will all the world's redemption, he says, soul and never dies and is never buried, has produced different inventions. They have confined resurrection to a moral quickening, a escape of the immortal soul from the house of clay, and attached in the scripture to the resurrection to a burden during natural life, in which is this disembodied existence, as well as the ascension of the soul out of the body into heaven. Manipulated to suit this invention, the body will be eternally in the dust. Hence, it will be readily seen that to invent such theories of resurrection is only to add real man, and that man, the man is buried in the dust, and then, in the dust or nowhere else, makes a real test upon the entire Adam's race. It tells us that wherefore, as by one man sin entered into men, for that all have sinned. That which befalleth the sons of men befalleth, yea, they all have all one breath, so that a man hath again. Gain some aspect of salvation, there must be some bring us out of the grave. In everlasting death. To us, what death is. The concept of resurrection that is so important in the body, and that it only relieves him of encumbrance to their belief. The gospel, when death is viewed in its proper light, it is seen we are by nature the children of wrath. Death, as we know, is terribly literal. Deal with death as it really is. As this morning, about the resurrection of eruption of the flesh in the grave. Very near to what we're reading in Acts. Christ and how he died for our sins. 15, a very well-known 6. From the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain in your faith, because we have testified of God that raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Came also the resurrection of the dead. Order. Christ the firstfruits afterwards have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, the last enemy that shall be the execution. Divinely guided, no, and our faith is vain. The word then, those who are in the graves asleep have no hope. They are continued on the positive. And in the beginning had obtained power. It was the power that needed to be destroyed if escaped. First pronounced upon the serpent was to bruise the head of the serpent power. And to destroy the concept of resurrection is only a new test. Luke chapter 20. You want to turn to 20, starting at verse 30. Of this world marry and are given in marriage. Resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. And are the children of God being the children of the resurrection? When he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, and because God is the God of the living. Future time. The time of the promises, Testament scriptures. A man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be known. Thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath again all the days of my hand at the latter day
upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Many of my comments today will be coming out of World's Redemption. This speaks of Job. The patriarch Job, after taking a view of the work of death among men and showing that in general man lieth down and riseth not, cries out in great agony he was then suffering, "Oh, that thou would hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath is past, that thou would appoint me a set time and remember me." Then he asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And his faith in God's promises answered, "Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee, and will have a desire to work to the work of thine hands." The set time that God would call, and he would answer, was the time of the resurrection. Then will Job, with all of like faith, answer, "This call is undoubtedly the same that in the New Testament is spoken of as the sound of the trump." Further along, Job gives still clearer expression to his knowledge of resurrection, which he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes behold and not another, though my reins consumed within me." Isaiah 26:19 says, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Daniel 12:1-2. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Hosea says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes." In Psalms 17, we read this, starting in verse 14 and 15. "From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, in whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasures, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy faith and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." David spoke of this a lot. Psalm 16:9-11. "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, in the grave, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." The verse that we read today. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." My flesh shall rest in hope, he says. Not only of himself, but of the Redeemer that would come after. Psalm 49:14-15. "Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me. Selah. Brother Williams says this about David's hope. It was hope in resurrection to the divine nature, which he terms thy likeness, that inspired David's last words. The everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, which was all his salvation and all his desire, depended upon resurrection. Without it, the covenant should never come into force. In making this covenant with David, God assured him that he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne, and that his kingdom there should be no end. For 2 Samuel, Luke, and Acts. He knew that Christ would suffer death, and yet God covenants that he should rule upon David's throne forever. How could this be without resurrection? How could David derive consolation from this covenant unless he understood and believed the doctrine of resurrection? The fulfillment of the covenant, he knew, was not to be until a great while to come. 2 Samuel 7:19. He had been told that when he would sleep with his fathers, his days having been fulfilled, his son and heir should be raised up. Then he is assured, thy throne and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. It follow, therefore, that his resurrection must take place. It has been shown by these faithful brethren that the belief and concept of resurrection was understood and believed. Paul preached the concept of resurrection, especially that of Christ, and what that entailed. We have read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but he goes on when he says in Romans 6, 4 and 5, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, he says this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This is the part, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto death, if by any means I might attain resurrection of the dead. Resurrection is the only hope for the dead. We know the truth of the matter, since the promises that have been given of old rely greatly on this concept. In Elpis, Israel, we read this. God had said to Abram, and he's talking about the Abrahamic, which his test with his son. But God had said to Abraham at Bethel, I will give thee the land of Canaan forever. And in the answer to this question, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Here tells him that he should die and be buried in a good old age. Now, the promise to Abraham rests upon the veracity of God. If we attempt to interpret it by the history of the past, we are brought to the conclusion that the promises of Abraham has failed. Stephen alludes to this apparent failure of his promise to Abraham in a speech before the Sanhedrin, in which he says, God said unto him, Come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he into this land in which he dwelt. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed, in the singular, to one person called the seed, after him. An everlasting possession to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. What shall we say then? Shall we dare to say that God hath lied to Abraham? Or that he meant something else than what he promised? Far being from the writer or the reader to insult God by such insinuation. But rather let us say what the apostle in reference to this particular incident, that God cannot lie. That in promising to Abraham an everlasting possession of the land of Canaan, and nevertheless afterwards declaring that he should die and be buried in his posterity, be oppressed for 400 years, he promised to him a resurrection to eternal life before the arrangement of the times. If Abraham were sentenced to die, how could the promise of God concerning the land be fulfilled unless he were raised from the dead? And as he is to possess it forever, when he is raised, he must be also be made incorruptible and immortal and enable him to possess it everlastingly. The promise of eternal life then consists in promising a mortal man and his son possession of a territorial country forever. And this promise to the two becomes a promise to all who believe it and are constituted one in them. We talked about the sure mercies of David this morning. Sureness that God will fulfill his word. He goes on, Abraham understood this, and so do all who become Abraham's seed through Jesus as the Christ, concerning whom the promise was made. The apostle says he saw the promises and their fulfillment afar off, but was persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that he was a stranger and pilgrim in the land. And in saying such things, he plainly declared that he was seeking a country. And truly, if he had been mindful of the Mesopotamian Chaldea from whence he migrated, he might have returned if he had pleased. But no. He desired a better country than that beyond the Euphrates, that is the land of Canaan under a heavenly constitution. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of all whose faith is like theirs in word and spirit, for he hath prepared for them and us a city. We'll close with reading 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. He's been talking about resurrection. He's been talking about the type of body which is raised. And now he says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For we look to the day of the return of our Messiah. We will enter into our memorial portion by the singing of hymn 104. Sing praise, the tomb is void where the Redeemer lay. Sing of our bonds destroyed, our darkness turned to day. Weep for your dead no more. Friends, be of joyful cheer. Our star moves on before, our narrow path shines clear. 104.